Your Bible out and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And once you arrive there, I want you to turn to verse number 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. And once you find it, why don't you stand with me? Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. But do me a favor, look right this way for a second. I'm going to ask you a question. I want to be very personal to you. Do you get your prayers answered? I just want you to ponder that for a second. I'm not trying to impress you. I don't want you to try to impress me. And I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud because you tend to want to lie. Do you get your prayers answered? I can help you tonight if you'll let me. I want you to get from God what God has for you. And tonight I'm going to show you a little key to it, I believe. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask him a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" And let's pray. Father, bless now as we discuss this important subject of prayer tonight. Please, Holy Spirit of God, transfer the truth of the Bible through my heart and lips to these people that they might leave here tonight with a better grasp on prayer. And Lord, I don't want to fill up the next 30 minutes with talk. I'd like us to leave here with a tool in our toolbox that will make us better Christians, something we can live, something we can do tomorrow about our Christianity. So don't just educate us, change us, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. This passage is teaching on prayer. It's a very, very powerful teaching. It's a great prayer promise. It said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." There's a song written by a man who was a great evangelist in years gone by the name of Dr. John R. Rice. He wrote a song called "Ask and Seek and Knock." I want us to try to sing it tonight. You can remain seated, but I want you to grab a songbook, and I want you to look for page number 357. It's called "Ask, Seek, and Knock." Ask, Seek, and Knock. We're going to try one verse, the very first verse of this song. We might even sing it twice. And to a few of you, it will be new. Let me ask, how many of you have ever heard the song by Dr. Rice here called "Ask and Seek and Knock"? Would you raise your hand? Many of you have. Those of you who have not, it's not what we'd call one of the older songs, because Dr. Rice was alive really in our lifetime, and he'll have a handful of songs in this songbook, but it's a newer song. Dr. Rice, of course, is in heaven now, but let's try it. Sarah, give us an introduction, and we're going to sing the first verse one time through, and then we'll see if we should do it again, all right? You ready? Is there anything too hard for God to do? Is there aught beyond His power? He commanded us to open wide our mouths. He would meet it needs this hour. We should ask and seek. Keep knocking at the door at Jesus' feet. We have not our needs, because we do not plead with Jesus. Boy, you did a great job. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's see. We're going to try the fourth verse. You caught on so quick. And the fourth verse is a very powerful verse. But now let's try again. It's the last time I'll have you sing it, but we're going to do the fourth verse. An introduction, Sarah? Here we go. We may ask in Jesus' name or ask in faith, pray united or alone. We may pray with trembling faith, but pray we should. We should plead till it is done. Now sing it. We should ask and seek. Keep knocking at the door at Jesus' feet. We have not our needs, because we do not plead with Jesus. Fantastic. You can put your songbook aside. And thank you, Sarah. I kind of sprung that on her tonight, and she always does a fabulous job. I love that song. I love this passage. Let me again remind you what we read. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It's a prayer promise. Notice the passage of Scripture teaches three parts to the promise. And to me, my way of saying it, this is as simple as pie. But I think sometimes we miss it. There's three parts to that promise. Matthew 7, 7a, that's my way of saying the first part of the verse, says, ask, and it shall be given you. In other words, you ask, and you receive. Now, that's the part that is easiest to understand. Then Matthew 7, 7b, the second part of the verse says, seek, and ye shall find. He said, I want you to ask so you can receive. Then he said, I want you to seek so you can find what you're seeking. Then he goes to the third part of the prayer promise. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. In other words, knock, and then you knock on a door. The door will open so you can get what's behind the door. Okay. And everybody loves that prayer promise. It's used a lot. It's preached on a lot. Everybody here has heard people preach from this passage of Scripture. Maybe you've not ever heard anyone say exactly what I'll say about it tonight, but you've heard it. We seem to miss, though, really two-thirds of the application of this verse. You see, we seem to only notice one part, and we think the first part describes the whole verse, but it doesn't. God said three independent things there. We're pretty good at recognizing the ask and the receive. Ask and receive. But we seem to ignore the responsibility to seek and the responsibility to knock. I've gotten a lot of advice from my dad through the years. My dad always told me about prayer. He said, son, you pray like it all depends on God, but then you work like it all depends on you. And those two joined together produce greatness. You pray like it's all God's. You work like there is no God. And I don't mean in an atheistic way. You just work like God's not going to help you a lick. When you take that kind of energy on your part and that kind of faith in your powerful God and you put the two together, I'm going to guess something is going to happen. If you want results from this supernatural prayer promise here in Matthew 7:7, I think you're going to have to accept the responsibility of the whole verse. Stay with me. Let me preach the sermon. Point number one. One of the greatest hindrances to a successful prayer life is a lack of character. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Folks, I've been around a lot of Christians. I've been around Christianity. I've been around successful Christianity. I try to be real in what I say. I want to be down to earth and practical. I want to say it, and you say, you know what, I might not like it. But that's true right there. That's just true. The truth of the matter is, the thing that hinders you and I the most in a successful prayer life is probably our lack of character. It takes character to have a real prayer life. A successful prayer life requires work. And I don't want to taint the subject of prayer in your thinking. You say, well, I just think prayer is delightful all the time. I am really glad you feel that way. But I'm going to be honest with you. Prayer sometimes is a real challenge for me. I enjoy praying, but I can tell you, doing it a lot, consistently, and successfully, it can flat tax you for everything you're worth. Matter of fact, that's why some of you don't really pray at all. You might pray around the table for a meal. You might say a prayer here and there. But the average person in here does not have a prayer life because it would take too much of your time. It would have to be scheduled to be successful, and that's, you're just not willing to do that. And by the way, I love you and I'm your friend. And I've never seen any of you in your private prayer time. So if I'm wrong, I apologize. If I'm right, it's not me that's right. It's the Holy Spirit, because he'd be the one that'd be digging in your heart right now saying, oh boy, you got my number. Preacher doesn't have your number. The Holy Spirit does. But the average person does not succeed in prayer because it takes so much character to do it. It's work. It's work to pray every day. It just is. It requires work not to give up on your requests. You know, we say, I'm going to have faith and I'm going to pray for this until I get it. And we pray about 10 times for 2 weeks and then we give up. Right? Because it's work. It's work. Hey, I'll give my testimony. It's work to stay awake sometimes in prayer. Now, you all probably don't struggle with that, but I can struggle with that. Boy, I can go to prayer and wake up a little while later thinking, I'm wondering how long I've been out. I was praying in the Spirit, Lord. It's work to force your flesh to submit to that need and responsibility in life. It's work to force your flesh sometimes to kneel. It's work. It is work to control your mind. I mean, just think about it. We go to prayer and our mind wants to shoot off on everything. We start thinking about the work of the day and the coffee maker and our telephone buzzed and we hear something here, we hear something there. For you to pray, you have got to take control of your mind. And it is a challenge. It's work to keep your daily appointment with God. You might say, well, I don't have a set time when I meet with God. Well, if you're succeeding at meeting with God without a set time, I really would like to have you sign my Bible. Matter of fact, I'd like to have you sign every Bible on the face of the earth, because you're the Superman of Christianity. I rarely have ever found anybody that didn't have a set time that really got it done. Usually, if you don't have a set time, you probably won't really do much of it. That's been my experience. And I will render a personal apology if you come up to me after the service and say, I pray down the power of God from on high, but I don't do it at any special time. Because I just don't find that to be the case. I've studied the great prayer warriors, the Praying Hydes, the Jack Hileses, the John R. Rices, the Tom Malones. Every one of them said, I had to set up a time and meet God because it's what it took for me to get the job done consistently. But here's our problem. It takes character to have a successful prayer life, and the lack of character is one of the things that keeps us from being successful in our prayers. And we live in a characterless nation. There's less work and more play than ever before. There's less character with our finances, less character with our jobs, less character with our families, less character for the Lord and the church. But I tell you, I think one of the biggest hindrances to our prayer life is our personal character. You know, there's nothing in the world that's stopping you from getting what you need from God but you. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer, but I'm not talking about standing in the need of somebody else to pray for me. I'm talking about it's me standing in the need of me praying. Because what you need more than somebody else praying for you is you praying for somebody else. So, point number one is very simple. One of the greatest hindrances to a successful prayer life is a lack of character. Number two, this prayer promise here in Matthew 7:7, I believe is in three parts. Part number one, ask. Ask. We are to pray. In other words, we are to ask things of God. So you know, the word prayer means ask. If you looked at the Bible through a microscope and you could analyze the word prayer, it is almost identical to the word ask. The answer is ask and we will receive. And you say, that is fantastic. That right there, I love that. And so do I. So you know, that may be one of the easiest parts of the three parts. He said, ask. What's the answer? You will receive. Now, what I'm about to say, I hope I don't pour water on your fire about this verse, but the rest of the verse is not what some people think. There are two other parts of the verse. Part two is seek. Part three is knock. You say, what do those words mean? Prayer means asking. How many of you have ever heard the statement that prayer means asking? It does. You say, well, what's seek mean? It doesn't mean asking. Some people think that this verse means pray, ask, seek, ask, and knock, ask. The only problem is that's not what this verse teaches. It says prayer, that means ask. Seek means to go look for it. You say, well, what am I going to go look for? Well, you're asking for something. Now go see if you can find what you're looking for. I looked up the word seek. It does not mean ask. I want to make double dog sure what I was reading is exactly what I was reading. Now, when God said ask, He meant pray. And I know that's what that means. But I thought, well, I wonder if the word seek is another word for prayer. It is not. Is actual the expectation of a verb entering to your life means get up off your knees and go see if you can find what it is that you've been asking God for. The word knock, you say, what's that mean? That's how you knock. Now God's not saying, well, you're down there on your knees, just start knocking on stuff. God said, I want you to pray and ask me, then you get up off your knees, go look for what it is that you want, and see if you can get the doors open to make it happen. You seek with His help, and you knock with His help. The asking is the easy part. We so often want God to do for us what we could do for ourselves. Or we want God to do it all when He expected us to participate in the meeting of the need. That's where I get the title of my sermon. Are you willing to pray for what you're not willing to work? Are you willing to ask but not willing to seek and knock? And that's where our character comes in. Do you expect spiritual welfare from God? God, I'll ask, but I won't do the work of seeking and I won't do the work of knocking. Just give me what I want the easy way. I used to worry. I would pray for something, and I really thought it was a lack of faith. I would pray, oh God, help this to happen. And you know what I'd do? I'd leave the prayer meeting and go out and do everything I could to make it happen. I used to think, I wonder if I have a lack of faith. Finally, one day I realized I was to ask God, then I was to go do everything I could to do my part in fulfilling the request. Now, let me explain. If God then kicks in and takes my efforts and makes it happen, it was all God anyway. I was breathing borrowed air and living on a borrowed earth and had a borrowed body. God just happened to use me as a part of the tool to fulfill the request. And you've all heard me tell this story, but it's worth telling again. I was working at Vice President Bible College, and young man, his school bill was due, and the financial counselor's sent him to me, and he came in my office and sat down, and I said, young man, your school bill's due, and you're not paying your school bill, and you understand that tomorrow the rules state you have to leave the school because you've not paid your school bill. I said, what are you doing? He said, I've been praying about it. I said, well, did you get a job? He said, well, I've been praying about it. I said, did you hear the announcement in chapel the other day? They were looking to hire some young men to move some boxes. I said, did you check on that? He said, well, I've been praying about this school bill thing. I said, son, you can pray between now and tomorrow at noon, and the highest chance is that you're going to go home and have to leave school because you didn't pay your bill. I said, it's time for you to get up off your knees and And he actually mentioned this verse to me. He said, I've asked, I've prayed, and I'm seeking and I'm knocking at the door of God. I said, it wasn't God's door he wanted you to knock on. He wanted you to go down here to Walmart and knock on the manager's door and get a job. He went home the next day. He's probably at home praying right now. I don't know how many of you have ever been around farmers, but I grew up in corn country. Lots of hogs and cattle. We lived, I mean, our house was, a half a block, and you were out of town, and there was a stockyards, and if the wind was blowing the wrong way on the wrong day, you wanted the windows closed at the house, which would not keep the smell out. Whew. You know, I've been around some farmers in my day. I used to bale hay and drive some tractors. But you know that if a farmer said to me, I'm looking for a good crop this year, I'm praying to God that we'll have a banner harvest. And then I said, well, are you going to plant? No, I'm praying we're going to have a great harvest. You going to fertilize? Well, I'm praying. No, but I'm praying we're going to have a good harvest. Let me ask you a question. How's he going to do at harvest time? Wonder if he prayed 24 hours a day all the way through harvest, but he wouldn't plant and he wouldn't fertilize and he wouldn't plow. Would he get any crops? No. Because there's a certain amount of energy that God requires for productivity. I was so worried. When I looked at this, I thought, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody teach this before. Because I think everybody teaches that pray, seek, and knock is all the same thing. If you heard somebody say that, I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at them at all. But I studied it very diligently. And I don't think all three of those things are the same thing. I think we are to pray, which means ask, and then he wanted us to go seek out the success that we're trying to achieve and actually go to work on knocking on some of those doors to make it happen. Now, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, the Lord said, if you will open the door, I will come in. Do you know what? There was effort on man's part for God to do his part. Let me apply this, and I'll try to talk fast, but this thing... Once I got into studying it, I just started enjoying and thinking about it. Let me be real super practical. I don't think I could get any simpler now. I just showed you a three-part prayer promise and told you, ask, but then go seek the success of the issue and knock on the door and try to get things to happen. For instance, you say, oh, preacher, I want to see souls saved. Okay, I want you to pray about that, would you? Then, I'd like for you to get up off your knees and come on out soul winning. Amen. Then, I'd like for you to go knock on some doors with us. You say, I'm claiming this verse. I'm praying that people will be saved. And you're only helping me with one third of it. And we've got to have the other two thirds to make it happen. And you ought to want to be a part of the fulfillment of your prayer request. For some of you, the only reason that prayer gets answered is because somebody else prayed and they sought and knocked. You say, well, right there's my prayer answered. Might have been theirs. Don't flatter yourself. A job. I am praying for a job. Good. I want you to. If I were you, I'd pray for that job after hours. You say, why? Because during the day you need to get off your lazy rocking chair of do-nothing and go out there and go see somebody and seek a job and knock on the manager's door and say, I want a job. I'm going to stay home and pray. Now the rest of us can support your lazy carcass with our tax money. See, I'm praying for wisdom. Good. I think you should. Then I think you ought to seek it in the Bible. Then You say, where's the knock come in? I'd probably get some counsel from somebody that has wisdom. You know what the Bible teaches? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Walking takes effort. You've got to get to them. You seek it out. Then you knock on the preacher's door, or you knock on a wise person's door and say, how would you do this? You say, I am praying that God would give me wisdom. There's more to it than that, folks. I'll guarantee you. I begged God for wisdom for years. But you know what? After I begged God to help me to get wisdom, I started seeking my Bible, and I found the wisest people I knew, and I went and said, how would you do this, and how would you handle this? And you know what? The wisdom, you're probably thinking, well, you never did get your prayer answered. I know. But I'm further along than what I used to be, I'll guarantee you. Reconciliation of relationships. So I'm just praying I can get along with my sister. Nobody gets along with sisters. You say, I'm just praying I could get along with my uncle. I'm just praying that I could reconcile this particular relationship. You know what you're supposed to do? Ask. Go seek them out. Try to get the heart's door open so you can fix it. You say, I'm just praying that they crawl to me. I don't think the Bible teaches they're supposed to crawl to you. I think the spiritual one is supposed to seek out the offended one and do what they can to reconcile. So you say, I've been praying about fixing a relationship. You know, there comes a point when then you have to reach out. And then you virtually have to say, I'm not only coming your way, I'm asking that you open up a line of communication so we can work on this. Say, I'm looking to buy a house, and I'm praying. I am praying and praying and praying. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's not only praying. Then you better seek out. And you better go walk through some doors and take a look. When Mrs. Owens and I were getting ready to move here, we knew that God was bringing us here. We began to pray. And then we decided we would walk and go look at some houses, and then we decided we needed to actually go in them to see if it was the right thing to do. I'm not trying to oversimplify this thing. I'm trying to tell you this is actually what God's teaching here. Pray like it all depends on God, and then you go to work and do your part. Why in the world should God do for you what you could do for yourself? A Sunday school class. Say, I'm praying that my class grow. It's not enough. Now seek and knock. My bus route. I'm praying that my bus route would grow. You don't grow a bus route through prayer alone. You can use this verse to grow your bus route. You can pray, seek, and knock. A church. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. You know what we could do? Brother Robert, we could lock everybody in this building. We could pray for the next 2 months and not even leave this building. Did you know our church wouldn't grow? Matter of fact, some of you would die in the 2 months that we were in here. We'd go down in attendance, not go up. What you do is you pray that you have church growth, and then you get out there knocking on doors and passing out tracts and inviting everybody that you can find and knocking on those doors and seeking and finding and seeking and finding. And somewhere along the way, God said, well, you asked, you've done your part, I'll kick in a little supernatural blessing on top of that, we'll get the job done. A business. I think in years to come, you'll find our church will be full of business people. Pray. You say, I want God to bless my business. Pray. And then seek. And then knock. This is still America. This is still America, and this is still the land of opportunity. I don't think our country can hold a torch to what it used to be, but I will guarantee you, you can build a business in this day and age, and it can succeed. You know what you got to do? You got to pray more than everybody else, and so you know you won't have a whole lot of competition in the area of businessmen out praying you. But then you got to seek more than they seek, and you knock more than they knock, and you get up early, and you stay up later, and you work harder, and all the time you're doing it all on the foundation of prayer, and you'll succeed. You'll succeed. Hey, the answers to life's problems. Pray. Then seek the answer. Then go get an answer if you need to. Can I tell every parent here, You want to rear godly children? Pray. You're going to need God. Pray. Then seek answers from the Bible. And then knock. You say, what's that? Knock them in the head. Child left to himself, bringeth his mother to shame. Money. You say, I need money. Pray. Then seek. Then knock. God answers our prayers, but many times He uses His people to pull it off. And just in case you say, well, I think that's a lack of faith, I just happen to believe that is a major dose of faith. And I'm not trying to limit the supernatural working of God. God steps in and does some very supernatural things, but He doesn't usually do it for a lazy cuss that comes off with a hyper-spirituality that says, I'm just the prayer around the church. No, you're a lazy dog that needs to get off your can and go do something for God and add that on top of your prayer life. Sermons. You say, I've enjoyed some of your sermons. I've really enjoyed them. They've made an impact on my life. I love them. Well, did you know that I pray about my sermons? But I have never prayed and woke up on Sunday morning like you do on Christmas and found that the big fat man in the red suit had left me a sermon in my Bible. It's not like Easter where I can gather, you know, eggs from the bunny. You know what I do? I say, God, I want to preach sermons. I want people to sit and listen to that sermon and say, that's good. That's not the same old, same old. I wasn't bored with it. I've heard it preached before. I wasn't bored with it. There's something different about that. That made sense. So you know what I do? I pray that, and I dig in. You know, this will sound strange to you, maybe to some of you preachers. Do you know how hard it is to take some of the complications of the Bible and make them simple enough that even the children are walking around saying, I got that. Oh, that's. I believe everybody that heard the sermon this morning on sanctification walked away saying, I got it. There are people here tonight that will say, this makes total sense. I mean, ask, seek, and knock. I understand. Hey, I'm coming to get you. Oh, God, help me. I got it. It's not that verse is not an ask. It's an ask, move, get the door open. Let's see what we can do, and God will kick in. God doesn't usually do for you what you can do for yourself. He does the rest. Can I tell you how to get a supernatural movement of God? You do everything you can, and you wear yourself out, and you turn to God and say, I am so tired. I don't know how to do anymore. And God will say, I've been waiting for you to get there. Let me carry you through the next phase. And He does. But when He knows you have all the money and all sorts of things on reserve, you've got your faith in what you have in reserve. God doesn't have to. God knows how much energy you have left. He knows better than you do, because somebody said, I can't take any more. And God said, you got many days ahead of you, baby. You can keep on going. Suck it up and quit whining. He knows better than you. We make all sorts of excuses for ourselves when God's looking down saying, look at that whiny baby down there. We know they're going to keep on going. We know, we look at their spiritual gas tank and it's not empty. It's half full. They won't even face the reality of what they have within themselves. Look, God wants you to do what you can. I have noticed people are willing to pray for big things, but many times they're not willing to work for big things. Oh, I want a big church. Well, let me tell you something. Been there, done that. And it cost me 100 hours a week. Night and day. Stress that you could not imagine. Attack that you could not imagine. You all want to pray that God blesses us in a supernatural way? You better have the character to back it up. It don't come easy. It don't come easy at all. But it's well worth it. You go and say, Lord, this is what I want. And he'll say, prove it. It's almost, you know, we used to play baseball. I remember this kid riding his bike onto our, we couldn't play baseball because we broke out so many windows with such a small field in somebody's backyard. So we had to play wiffle ball with a plastic ball. We still attempted to break windows, but it didn't work as well. But I remember this kid riding his bike in, and then he wanted to fight my brother. And I don't even know what they're fussing about. Probably baseball cards or something major like that. But I remember him riding his bike through and calling my brother's name out. And I remember what my brother said to him. He said, put up or shut up. Can I tell you all something? Along with your prayer life, I wonder sometimes if God doesn't look down and say, put up or shut up. You can ask me for things all you want. Parents, did you notice that verse? Listen to the end of the verse. I'm going to read Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11, and I'm finished. And then I'll be finished again in a little while also. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And listen, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask fish will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? Can I tell you all something? If your child came to you and said, Mom, give me a glass of water. Well, your 17-year-old daughter could get her own water, couldn't she? Does every mom that has a 17-year-old daughter walk up and say, give me a glass of water. Can you give me a glass of water? Oh, I need a glass of water. Give me a glass of water. You know what you're going to say? Get it yourself! God is comparing this precept here to a parent saying to their child, if you can do it, do it. Do all you can to get yourself as far along as you can. And he said, then I'll take care of what you can't. So folks, you know what you and all what we're going to have to do? Okay, we want a bigger building. Let's pray. Let's beg God. Then we're going to go look at buildings and we're going to dig. And we're going to save our pennies and we're going to save our money. And, oh, the time may come when we have to go build walls and say, I want a great, big, nice building. Just so you know, we're not going to find one wrapped with a bow on it, paid for in full by somebody else, and we walk in and just suck up the air conditioning and the chandeliers. We're going to pay a price. You say, well, I guess it'd be us doing it, not God. You can't do anything without God. He gives you all the energy that you need to do what part you're to do, and then he'll take care of the rest. I call the sermon, do you pray for what you won't work? You say, God's not answering my prayer. Well, how much of it are you answering? I know that almost seems anti-religious for a moment here, but I'm just saying if there's a part of it you could do, you ought to. Then ask for him to take care of the rest. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. I wish you'd get born again. That'll make all the difference in your prayer life. But may I say to every Christian here, I really do want you to get what you need from God, but I have to tell you, prayer is not enough. Prayer is not enough. Remember, pray like only God can do this. And then you do everything you can to move your cause forward. So you pray, and you get off your knees, and you seek, and you knock. Some of you are good people, but you need to add to your prayer movement, energy of your own. Who here tonight would raise your hand to the sky to God and say, Lord, I've been challenged by the Scripture tonight. And would you say, God, I see it. That's good for me. Amen. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, you'll be welcome to come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. There are some of you young people, you've been learning about prayer. And you say, preacher, I really prayed about passing that test. Well, I have to tell you something. You ought to pray that you pass the test. Then you better seek the right answers, and you better be knocking on the teacher's door and getting help if you need it. You don't pass tests in school because you prayed. You do because you prayed, and then you sought, and you knocked, and you searched out the answers, and you put your energy into it. See, I've really been praying to get a raise at work. I'm glad. But you don't get raises at work just because you pray. You get raises at work because you pray, and then you seek out what it takes to please the boss, and then you knock on the door of success, and you do your part too. I've really been praying for my marriage. I want you to do that. And I think it's urgent, and it is the foundation on which the other parts come. But you can't just pray about your marriage. Some of us say, well, I guess the only thing I can do is pray. I don't think that's hardly ever the case. The only thing you can do is pray. You can be good to your wife. You can treat her with dignity. You can love her like the Bible teaches. You can be honest with her and trustworthy in her presence. You can meet her needs. You see, it's not just prayer. Let's not be so hyper-spiritual that we blame everything on prayer. The issue is not God. The issue is me and you. One of our biggest issues is that we're characterless and we don't pray. But if you do have the character to pray some, add a little of your own personal energy to it, and you might pull this thing out. Are you willing to pray for that you will not work? I remember.